Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Cordelia Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive, Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's topic is self-defense in these trying times. Today's date is December the 5th, 2016. First and foremost, I'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day and being given access and use of my faculties. It's very important that we, you know, make sure we keep the law first in everything that we do. We're on a new time right now, so I'll be doing my shows at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, inshallah, going forward. The reason why I picked tonight's topic, first and foremost, is because of so many things that has been going on in our communities due to the terrorism act abroad in Paris and as well as here in United States, California. A lot of our sisters have come under attack by people who are hateful and just downright mean. Again, as I did a show earlier, couple of weeks ago, was that, you know, terrorism has no place in Islam. We do not condone it. We do not participate in it. We do not encourage it amongst anyone. These are not the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are not the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam or any Muslim that follows the Sunnah Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and also follows the Quran. You know, these are things that we have to make clear and let people know that, you know, we will not tolerate it and we do not condone it. And we will not sit back and let our brothers and sisters be attacked. We will take precaution to defend ourselves because this is our given right. Most of us are United States citizens or we're nationals. And just because, you know, few people do take and hijack Islam to use it to their benefit, no way, shape, or form should every Muslim be condemned for the act of a few. You know, we don't go outside and stand in front of a Christian church with assault rifles. This is something that had took place in Texas where members of, I don't know what group they were representing, but they stood in front of a masjid with assault rifles saying that they were defending themselves and protecting themselves against Muslims because we're all terrorists. We all want everyone dead. And we know this is not the case in Islam. There were also a situation where a sister was with her young child, and she was attacked and accosted by someone attempting to pull off her hijab, and she was, you know, with her young child. And I have read, you know, through the days and the weeks since the Paris attacks, and even before that, you know, when 9/11 occurred, that, you know, these people, a lot of brothers and sisters, were attacked because of their belief, because they are Muslim. And also, I'll say this, that a lot, I do know a few Sikhs, people who practice the Sikh religion, a lot of them were attacked because they resemble Muslims in a certain sense, and people in their ignorance can't tell the difference or don't want to know the difference. And, you know, they have come under attack as well for things that these people who claim Islam have done. And, you know, again, we condemn these acts and we don't encourage them and we don't participate in them. We don't, these are not in the teachings, period. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was someone that showed great restraint, great restraint. if anybody's familiar, there's a hadith where, you know, every day Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk past this lady and she would throw feces at him. And he never attacked her. He never, you know, accosted her. He never said anything. So, you know, one day the lady stopped seeing him and she became concerned. And it was because, you know, he never showed that anger towards her that she became concerned for him and his safety because, you know, that's what happened. You know, these times I have one thing that greatly alarmed me was a situation where I seen in a post in a certain group, I'm not going to name that group on Facebook, where it was encouraging sisters to take off their hijab or saying that hijab wasn't mandatory. We all know that hijab is a wajib or mandatory, that we wear it and we cover our head and our bosom with our kimar and drape it in that manner. We also know that, you know, everything should be covered except for the face and the hands. And some people, you know, go further than that and say that, you know, the face and the hands should be covered. Allahu a'lam on that. What I will say is that, you know, with these times, with this situation that we're in, we have to look back to the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the establishment of Islam. And one thing about going back to the beginning, the foundation of Islam, it puts this in perspective. There was no greater trial amongst the Muslims except for in that time. And what I mean by trial is this was the establishment of Islam. This was the forefront. This was the beginning of Islam. And if anybody suffered more, it would be those who were in the beginning time with this. We know Bilal, radiallahu anhu, he tortured by his owner, beaten, prodded, all kinds of abuse because he said, La ilaha illallah. And he would not stop saying, La ilaha illallah. You know, even if it cost him his life, he wouldn't refrain from it. And his freedom was bought. And he knew that, you know, at any time, his life could have been taken. His life could have been taken. And it didn't matter to him. So when I see things where it says, okay, you know, take off your hijab and don't look Muslim, don't be obvious. Let me just say this. I'll say this. The government, whoever the powers that be, they know who does what, when they do it, how they do it, and why they do it. I'm just going to say that. Trust and believe, they know everything that we do. I recently was traveling outside of the country. And, you know, when I go through, you know, the metal detectors and the body scan, I could have almost nothing metal, absolutely no metal except for the fillings in my teeth. And they will always take me in the back and check me down and pat me. They will always do the swab to see if I have bomb-making materials on my hand. They will always, you know, check my bags and rip them apart. They will always do this because they know who is Muslim. When you scan your passport, whenever all that information, they scan this information and they know that you're Muslim already. So this whole thing with, you know, Donald Trump talking about we need to wear IDs and badges and all this other bull crap, They already know. They already know. They already know everything that we do. They know how much money we have in our accounts. They know where we work. They know who we talk to. They know what we talk about. This is why when, you know, people talk about these things, I get irate, because it's like, are you that ignorant that you don't know this stuff? Or maybe you want to believe it. Maybe you want to have a reason to have a problem or issue with Muslims. And, you know, it just shouldn't be so. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern that's listening on the line, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. So for the sisters, back to the sisters, you know, traveling alone, inshallah, first and foremost, may Allah safeguard all of the Muslims, male, female, children. May Allah safeguard us, because we are in some trying times. We are in some times that we need to be diligent. So this is why I picked the topic tonight, because, you know, there's so much stuff going on, and we have to learn to be aware of our surroundings. Sisters, if you are traveling alone, try to travel during the daylight hours. And inshallah, if all possible, travel with your mahram, your guardian, or have someone male in your family travel with you, whether it be your son, your brother, your uncle, whoever. Try to travel with them as much as possible. And the reason why I say travel with a man is because statistics show that someone attacking someone, especially a woman by herself, 8 out of 10 times, they will not approach her because she is with a male. So, inshallah, you know, if you can travel during the daylight hours and travel with your guardian, if that's not possible, sisters, travel in groups of two or more. You know, if you have to make errands as far as running to the market or, you know, picking up children from school, try to, you know, ride with another sister that, you know, has children at that school. Also, you know, sisters, if you have to travel at night, just be very cautious of your surroundings. Make sure you have your keys out in your hand, like your key ready to open your door, or if you have automatic locks. I would say, sisters, if you know you're shopping at a mall or something like that, or like a plaza or a complex where they have multiple stores, and you're returning to your car, first look inside your car. Like, so carry like a small flashlight that goes on your car, on your car keys, to check inside the car, because someone could be hiding in the back seat. So, you know, just make sure you're aware of your surroundings. Park where it's well lit. Don't park in some place that's like desolate and you have to walk far, or you have to walk where it's not a lot of people that would be traveling in that area. So make sure you park where it's well lit and frequented. Also, I would say, you know, when you get in your car, immediately lock your doors. I know, like with newer model cars, your car doors will automatically lock once you accelerate like over 5 miles an hour. But when you get in the car, don't rely on it, because somebody could come up behind you and open the door. I would say, even, you know, because it's the winter time, the winter months, we keep our windows rolled up. I would say even, you know, in the springtime, when the weather gets a little bit nicer, make sure you keep your windows rolled up until you're out of that vicinity, because anybody could come and, you know, reach their hand inside the door. Sisters, you can go to any Army Navy store, like we have here in Philadelphia. We have Igover. They sell mace, pepper spray. I would suggest any sisters that do have to travel, you know, alone or, you know, during the dark hours, do carry mace. To protect yourself. Also, I know that they you can purchase stun guns on Amazon for as little as $10. So, you know, if that's more cost effective for you, or if you would feel safer using that, that's just a suggestion. And again, they're like $10. You can also order, you know, your mace and stuff from that website as well. I would also say, sisters, if you are a single parent, make sure you keep your home doors locked. I know a lot of times when people have young children or minor children, they're going in and out. They're frequently going in and out the house. I would just say keep your doors locked at all times. Don't open the door. And we know as, you know, Muslims, for those who aren't Muslim and listening on the line, as Muslims, we cannot just go to someone's house. We can't just go to our sister Islam or our brother Islam's house and just knock on the door and expect them to answer. You are to schedule an appointment, basically, to visit your friend, to let them know that you will be coming and the time that you will be coming and the day that you will be coming. You can't just show up at people's houses. That's the Islamic thing to do, is to notify them of your, you know, your presence, your coming. So, sisters, I would say, you know, if you're home alone, you're single, you don't have, you know, a male living with you, your husband or, you know, your father or whoever, and you're home alone, I would suggest that, you know, you do not answer the door if you're not expecting anyone. Keep your porch light and keep the front of your house well lit, if at all possible, with motion detector lights. I know a lot of people now, it's very cheap to get. They even have solar power motion detector lights. I have one of those outside my garage door, which as soon as I walk out my driveway door, it goes on. And it stays on for 2 to 3 minutes until I can, you know, get into my car and drive off and close the garage door. So they do have those things. With recent technology, technology is awesome nowadays. So you can do your own security system basically in your house. Even, you know, if you have ADT or one of those other companies, that's all well and good. They now offer upgrades where you can get a camera put out in the front of your house, and it may increase your premium a couple of dollars, not that much, where if anybody rings your doorbell or they signal, like push the button to signal, they can, you can view them on your phone, on your smartphone. You'll be able to see that person pop up on your phone and you can view it. These are things that we should take precaution for, especially if we're single. I know, like, when you're home, like, you know, if I'm home during the day and, you know, my kids are at school and I'm just, you know, home and they're not here, I put on my stay button on my alarm. So if anybody tried to come in my home without going out, my alarm system would be triggered. You know, these are things, you know, keep windows that are connected to decks or, you know, fire escape closed and locked at all times. You don't want to, you know, give people a way of, you know, accessing your home easily. You know, make sure you keep those doors bolted if at all possible. And even at night when you go to sleep, I know a lot of people feel like, oh, no one's going to break in my home because they know I'm home. That's when people break in the home the most, is, you know, at night, because they think that no one's home. So I would put your alarm system on stay again while everyone's in the house, just to safeguard everyone. And, you know, this is what we pay these premiums for every month, and a lot of times we don't use them except for, like, when we go on vacation, we'll access, you know, the alarm system. In my house, I do it, you know, if I go to work and my kids are at school, I have it automatically programmed where my alarm system goes on. It goes on as soon as, you know, I hit that button, it's on, it's activated. I'm not going to say the time, because then people would know what time I actually activate my alarm system. But my alarm system does work on my house, and it's connected to motion detectors. I mean, you know, just these are things that you have to do to feel safe in these day and time. Trying to think of any other precautions I could, you know, go over briefly in these times. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. You know, it's not easy And these people are true cowards, that anybody that would approach a child or a parent with their young child, when you see that, that's just, you know, that's just downright despicable, that you would attack someone while they're with their child and they're a woman. You know, these men are cowards that do these things to the sisters to attack them, because they know if they were with a man, they wouldn't approach them. They wouldn't say anything to them. They wouldn't even look twice their way. You know, it's just been very disheartening to see things that are in the news where, you know, over in the United Kingdom, this couple was having a picnic in a park with their children, and two women came over and urinated in front of them while they were making salat. Like a Udabalet, like, you know, who does this? Who does these type of things? You know, the shaitan is very busy in this time, and people are feeding into his whispers. They are feeding into these things. And I know as Muslims it becomes very frustrating when you have to suffer at the hands of other people's idiotic behaviors. I just ask that, you know, the Ummah, everybody that's listening, I ask, not for me, I'm asking for all Muslims, just come together. Because all this disunity and all this bickering and fighting amongst the branches, the various branches that we, you know, form in Islam, you know, it's causing more problem than it is a solution. You know, we can't defeat these issues if we're not willing to come together. Oh, well, since the sister didn't wear this, I'm not helping her. You know, these are not the type of behaviors to have. And, you know, me being Muslim for 23 years, I've seen where, you know, if somebody was getting disrespectful with a sister, no matter who she was, if the brother seen her in hijab, he was coming to her aid. Nowadays, it's like, oh, if you don't have this one, I ain't helping you. Oh, because you do this, I'm not participating in that. If you said la ilaha illallah, you know, come on, like, come on, Ummah. This type of behavior is very sickening and disheartening in this time. You know, it's too much stuff going on, and we have to come together to better things, better our situation. Because we know Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change the condition for themselves. Like, you have to want to change, and we have to form a bond that is unbreakable, and right now it's shattered into a million pieces. You know, and these things are disheartening because it's sisters who are, you know, I think when these people prey upon these sisters, and I've said this before, these people know exactly what Muslims to target. They know exactly what Muslims to target. And the reason why I'll say this is they'll target single women. They'll target, you know, women with children. Or they will target non-African-American Muslims 9 times out of 10. A single African-American sister versus an Arab sister, they're going to attack the Arab sister. And just out of, you know, out of respect, I'll tell you why. They're going to attack her because they know that if they try to come at one of us, we ain't going back down. And, no, we shouldn't show that kind of force, but they know better. These people clearly know better who to target. Like that masjid in Texas I was telling you about, I read up on it, and it clearly was not an African-American masjid, and they knew that they could do that. Try doing that, you know, up Germantown Masjid in Philadelphia. I doubt if that would have went down up there. That wouldn't even have took place. Those people wouldn't even think to do anything like that. Another thing that I want to tell people is stop fearing Muslims. I would feel more safe living in an Islamic community than I would outside an Islamic community. Because 9 times out of 10, we know that we don't play that crap. We don't tolerate that crap in an Islamic community. We want to safeguard it. We want to make sure our women are safe. We want to make sure the children are safe. We want to make sure our families are safe. And, you know, anything that's going on that, you know, could potentially harm someone, we're going to speak up on it, and we're going to address the issue and not let it just keep lingering and, you know, be passive about the type of situation, like, oh, it is what it is or whatever like that. No, I feel safer in a Muslim community than I would outside of community. Too often, you know, we take these things as jokes, and we don't take them that serious because they're not in our backyard. The time is now that we need to wake up. We need to focus on the problem. We need to be aware of it and seek Allah in all his favors to ask for protection, to ask for guidance, guard us, and to give us knowledge for things that we normally wouldn't seek knowledge for. You know, these times are stressful. They're stressful on the family because you know, you don't know which way you're going. Husbands want to make sure their wives are safe, their children are safe. You know, you're checking on your other family members to make sure that they're safe. And, you know, it creates a greater burden also on our family members who are not Muslim. They don't understand what's going on, so it's our duty to educate them, to let them know what's going on, and not to be fearful or, you know, think that we're going to put ourselves in harm's way. Inshallah, we all keep ourselves safeguarded, and Allah protects us and keeps the shaitan at bay with us. Cause, I mean, that's just the most important thing, that we seek Allah in these situations and ask for protection and safeguard us, because it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse, and we have to use these times as a stepping stone to improve our situation. In getting ready to conclude the call, I just want to make everybody know that, you know, this show airs, and we are trying to make our family grow. So if you know someone or think that you could be a possible candidate to join our show, inshallah, get in contact with me, and, you know, we can discuss this further. If you need to reach me directly, you can call me at 610-836-2120. You can reach me via email at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, so that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. You can inbox me, things like that. And I'm always looking for topics for new shows and new ideas, you know. And it doesn't have to be religious. Religion doesn't have to be the forefront of it. We talk about different things that, you know, we experience in our daily lives on this show, to keep people aware and accustomed to, you know, their surroundings and their communities. So if you have an event or you want to, you know, just give a shout-out for something, let me know. I'll be happy to, you know, announce it on the show and go from there, you know, with it. It's always important to make sure that we, you know, again, keep Allah first and foremost in everything that we do. Use social media as a stepping stone, as, you know, a news system to promote what's correct and forbid what is wrong. These times are not easy, and social network is a way that we can, you know, communicate these things fast and make sure that people are understanding these things, and also a way of promoting Islam and showing people what true Islam is, and that, you know, we don't condone these types of behaviors and these people who are hijacking the Muslim religion. Again, I appreciate everybody joining the call. I appreciate all the listeners. Again, I'm open for suggestions. So if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please reach out to me, inshallah. And I'm going to conclude tonight's call. So tonight's topic was self-defense in these trying times. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. This is Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive, today's date, is December 5th, 2015. Thank you and have a good evening. Assalamu alaikum.